Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hey everyone, welcome to the It's Just Life podcast. This is episode number 18. I'm Karen and I'm glad you're here with us today. Thanks for tuning in.
And hi there guys, this is Gia, the daughter of Karen. So excited to have you guys on the podcast today. Last week we had an awesome podcast where we interviewed my dad about masculine and feminine energy and balancing that on the earth. So check that out if you haven't heard it yet. It was fun to have a guest and someone in our family. And today I have a topic for us that I'm really excited to talk about. But before we get into that, my mom and I decided that we want to, at the beginning of every podcast, start with a story of positivity and inspiration that we've heard recently going on in the world, because there's so much negative news out there. And there's so many dramatic and tumultuous and sad things happening that we want to bring more light and more awareness to the amazing things happening in the world. So I think, Mom, you're going to introduce our positivity topic today, right?
Yeah. This is just a little story that I read on Facebook, but that I thought was sweet given that the Olympics have started now and we're totally excited and stoked on the Olympics. But this was a story of an Uber driver from Philadelphia who was driving a passenger to New Jersey. And apparently the Uber driver is the father of an Olympic athlete. His son was is in the Olympics as a shot putter. He was telling his passenger, Liz Willock, on the trip while he was driving, he was telling her about his son being in the Olympics and how excited he was, but also he wasn't able to attend the Olympics because he couldn't afford to fly there. So this passenger, Liz, started a GoFundMe campaign with a bunch of her friends and raised the money to pay for the Uber driver to go to Rio to see his son in the Olympics. And I was so inspired by how sweet that was and how positive that was, that she was so kind after hearing his story and seeing how excited he was about his son in the Olympics, that she would go to the trouble of raising the money to make sure he could go to Rio and see his son. So I thought that's a fantastic story. And that is how tuned in we all need to be to the people around us, including the strangers. We need to be listening to their stories and hearing them and responding in a compassionate way, thinking about how could I help? How could I help that person? Or what could I do to make a difference? So that's my positive story for today.
Yes, I love it so much. It makes me so happy. And I was watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics last night and watching some of the games today. And I'm just so touched. And I feel like the Olympics is like saving our planet right now, reminding us of all the incredible, amazing, passionate, strong people out there who believe in themselves, who believe in each other. And it's like exactly what we need right now in our world. So I just couldn't be happier that the Olympics are happening.
Yeah, same here. And we've already decided we're going to record at least one podcast episode all about the Olympics. So that'll be coming up in the future, in the near future.
I
can't wait.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that.
So today on our podcast, we wanted to talk about impermanence and the little deaths that happen in life, and how when everything is going great and everything you've worked for is finally here, we have to remember that everything is impermanent, and we will experience little losses and little deaths all along the way to prepare us for our final death. And perhaps we can learn some grace and some trust and some faith from these little deaths in life.
Yes, and one of my favorite books is the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying by Sogyal Rinpoche, and he talks a lot about Tibetan Buddhists and their approach to death and dying, and how far our Western society is removed from being open and aware of death itself, and even of the little deaths, the little losses that we have throughout life, how fearful we are and how afraid we are to accept and embrace those changes. But he points out in his book how if you are standing next to a stream, all you have to do is watch the water that flows in front of you, and it's never the same. It doesn't last. There's different water every moment, every second that's coming down the stream. And he said that's your perfect example of the fact that everything changes. Everything is flowing and moving and changing constantly.
It's so true. And I'm really in the midst of a lot of little deaths right now that I've been processing and kind of struggling with, because I'm 27 and a half and I'm in the beginning of my Saturn return, which is a phenomenon in astrology, which you may have heard about. It's where every 27 years, 27 to 29, Saturn has one full evolution in the sky. And so it's 27 years, every 27 years is kind of a rebirthing for us. And Saturn is a planet that rules career and is kind of a taskmaster energy, the energy of Saturn. And so it's known to be a tumultuous time for everybody, especially the first 27 years, because if you think about it, you're rounding out childhood, you're coming into young adulthood and preparing for your 30s and preparing for your next step in your career and perhaps your relationship or creating a family. So it's a really big time. And I have been noticing lately that like my body is changing and I'm starting to see the effects of aging for the first time. You know, it's kind of scary when you first realize like, oh my God, I have gray hair coming in and I can't just lose weight like I used to. And I recently lost a bunch of hair too, inexplicably, whatever, and all of them. And so I'm dealing with these little losses, like the loss of my hair the way it used to be. And like, it sounds silly, but it's something we hold on to, you know, in our image of ourselves and letting go of the way my body used to be and letting go of these roles I used to play, you know, as a student or as a daughter or as a friend and just finding the new me. And so, yeah, I'm kind of struggling with these little deaths and figuring out what is the part of me that is still here when I lose my image, when I lose my beauty, when I lose my youth.
And I think that's exactly why we need these little deaths and little changes, because these changes are really only a threat to the ego. It's the ego that responds and reacts in fear and pain when change happens. And it helps us differentiate the ego from our soul, which is sitting back saying, of course everything is changing. That's how it is. That's how the whole universe is. Everything's constantly changing. So, of course, the soul is contentedly observing and witnessing everything that's happening while our egos are freaking out over change and over having to let go of the way things used to be in order to accept a new reality. And it can be a really painful time for us.
Yeah, and I can almost hear my mind just saying like, okay, how can I fix this? Like, there's got to be a way for me to counter this process. Because that's what we're trained to believe in our society, that there's anti-aging, you know, there's things we can do to prevent aging or to feel younger or to seem younger. And I know that that's missing the whole point. But I can still hear my ego and my mind trying to come up with ways that I could continue to lose weight and be as fit as I used to be or dye my hair or make sure that I seem as young as always, but I know that that's actually missing the point. And so I think our society does need to take a look at how to embrace change and how to be willing to lose what we have, because I think ultimately we end up losing everything. And we lose all the things we think we have control over until we realize that true power comes from not needing any of that. And so we have to lose everything before we have everything.
Oh, exactly. And I was just reading that in the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. Sogyal Rinpoche was writing that, imagine if we experienced death, the finality of death, only once in our lifetime, there's no way we could ever be prepared for it or be prepared for the shock of it and the change of it. And he said, but aren't we fortunate? We get to have all these little opportunities to practice all through life at every stage of life. We can practice every day letting go and giving up attachments, which all beautifully works together to help us be ready at the very end of life when we have that final transition to make. And so I loved it that he's so positive and optimistic. Like, isn't it great that this is how life is set up for us? So we get all the practice we need before we actually get to the end. It's just that in our Western society, we kind of throw away the opportunities to practice. We ignore and avoid them and don't make the most of them.
Wow, I love that he says that. Like, can you imagine if we lived in a world where everybody only ever gained, you only ever became more beautiful, more powerful, more successful, more wealthy, more happy, more confident, and then you someday lost every single thing and you just were done and you just died. Like, I mean, that would be insane.
Yeah.
We wouldn't learn and grow so much because it's the change, it's the flux, it's the ins and outs and the ups and downs that really help us grow by learning how to weather the storms, you know. And like I said, finding out what is behind all of this, what is the part of me that is strong and stable and calm to weather the storm through all of these changes and all of these losses and little deaths. That's ultimately like what we're coming to.
Exactly. And the more that you experience the storm, the more you gradually start to identify that part of you that's watching the storm, that is steady and calm and isn't being rocked back and forth all over the place, the more you can see that part of yourself and connect with it and then come to rely on the strength of that higher self that you possess.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking that the other day I was feeling frustrated. I just recently stopped dating someone who I had like a short and like not great situation with. And I still work with that person. I see that person once a week. And I found myself, I heard my mind saying, "Ugh, this is just the worst. I can't believe this is happening." And then a calm and expansive voice said, "Oh, but isn't life so interesting? Like, isn't this like a fun and interesting part of the journey?" And it was almost like my perspective zoomed out in that moment. And I wasn't stuck in my tiny little head anymore. And I could suddenly see things from a much broader perspective and was able to tap into this calm of like, aha, but it's all just symbols. It's all just a game. I'm just an actor playing a role. And so I don't need to hold on so tightly to the occurrences happening in my life. I just need to remember that this is all a part of the journey and I'm just witnessing it. I'm just allowing it to happen. I'm allowing it to be. And when you separate yourself from your journey and don't hold on so tightly, it actually becomes kind of funny and kind of a silly game that we can just bear witness to and embrace.
I love that. And so what you were illustrating in that story is that our egos are completely caught up here in the garden. If we use that garden galaxy metaphor again that we've referred to in the past, the ego's completely caught up in this tangible, physical life here on planet Earth and completely engrossed in all the ups and downs and the problems and the issues and miserable and suffering because it can't control things that it wants to control. But at the same time, we have higher consciousness that can take the galaxy view and see the higher perspective and recognize the whole game, like you said, recognize exactly what's going on. And it's amazing. We're able to have both of those experiences at the same time. We can have an ego that's struggling in the garden, but also have that witnessing higher self that says, you know what? It's okay. It's all okay because this is all just part of the plan and part of the game and how it's meant to work out. And so it is fascinating to me, and I do kind of love it that we still live in the garden. We still do have to deal with all these issues that come up, but it's being able to take that galaxy view that gets us through the tough times, that helps us navigate and negotiate the difficulties of the garden.
Right. And what if we knew and remembered that the rate at which we accept and allow change in our lives is the same rate at which we bring miracles into our lives and experience incredible, you know, new things like enlightenment and love and the happiness you've always sought and the soulmate you've always looked for and the abundance you've always wanted. What if, you know, all of that only came from your ability to let go and allow change to take place? Because I think sometimes people are blocking the good things and the miracles from coming into their lives because they're so focused on controlling things to prevent change, when really the only change that needs to happen is allowing all these blessings to come your way.
Exactly, exactly. And so it's the ego's efforts to control the situation as much as possible and control everything that's happening that, you're right, that blocks the creativity and the abundance and the loving input that's trying to get through to us from our higher consciousness.
Yeah. Well, we're very lucky today to be speaking with Dr. Karen Wyatt on this podcast because I consider you to be like an expert on this topic, an expert of the little death and an expert on the final death. And for everybody listening out there, you should know that my mom just put out an ebook that will soon be a printed book as well called The Tao of Death. And it's a modern interpretation of the Tao Te Ching from the perspective of death and how death is a teacher for life. And I'm starting to read it. I'm reading one passage per day, and I'm already really moved by it. And so, Mom, maybe you can, like, share with us. I mean, you've experienced a lot of loss in your life, whether it was your father's suicide or your children leaving for college or aging and losing your youth. And, like, I'm curious if you can help us if you can tell us, like, what are some ways that you've been able to weather the storm, allow change to come into your life, and still have this faith and this stillness within you that that you're being guided?
Well, I think all of the changes that I've experienced have come through in my life gradually, and I've learned a little bit each time at each step along the way. And I would say my dad's suicide was probably the biggest and the most devastating change that happened, like suddenly, just all at once, changed everything in my world. And what I learned through my process of trying to cope with my dad's death was everything about change, because I recognized, like, for about 3 years I was really spinning my wheels and not getting through the grief over his death. And I realized every day I would wake up and say to myself, one of these days I'm going to wake up and everything will be just like it used to be. That was what I was holding on to, is that one of these days I will feel just like I used to feel before Dad died. One of these days the world will look just like it did before he died. Everything will go back to normal and I will be okay again. And that was the flawed thinking that kept me stuck in my grief, because what I was saying is, I don't want the change that my dad's death is bringing. I refuse to accept it. I want everything to be like it was before. And it took about 3 years for me to suddenly wake up one day and realize that is wrong. That is not helping me, that attitude that, of course, everything in my life has changed because my dad is gone. That changes everything. And I suddenly realized that I had to stop wishing for it to go backwards, for time to go backwards, and accept where I was and how different everything was in my life. And that was so rapidly the thing that helped me move through the grief process and start to grow. And from that lesson, that became part of my mindset about every other change, that, the nature of life is change, and I'm going to have many, many more changes to cope with. So I learned right at that point, open your mind to change, embrace change, accept it when it comes, even when it hurts, because if you don't, you'll only prolong the misery and you'll actually increase your suffering if you don't accept change when it comes to you. So it was really from that process of getting through my dad's death that I learned how to manage change in general. And so that was mindset. I had to have a mindset that said, it's okay to change. It's okay to let life change me, to let suffering change me, to let whatever happens change me and change my world and change everything about me. So that was the beginning of it. And then I would say, having a spiritual practice made all the difference for me. Meditating every day, keeping a journal, doing yoga, like really getting still and going within and being able to always look at what's happening inside of me and process that, made all the difference for me in my ability to cope with change and loss as it came to me.
Yeah, that was so beautifully said. And I am glad that you mentioned the journaling and continually digging deeper to find out what's going on for you. And because as you were talking, I was thinking, do you have to keep getting to know like the new you? Because that's what I feel like I'm doing right now. I feel like I lost a lot of the old me, and I'm still now trying to figure out the new me. Like, I know that I am still present and I'm evolving, and I'm learning about how I change as, you know, in this next phase of my life. Who am I now? I mean, have you kind of had those similar questions?
Yes. And what I've realized is that it's the ego that needs to establish a particular identity. And so as we go through each new stage of life, when the ego finally accepts, okay, it's not like it was before, but here's the new me. This is how I am now. The ego constantly attaches to whatever the new me is and attaches to that identity. Like, oh, look, I left my job as medical director of, of the clinic where I was working, but here's the new me. And now this is who I am and this is what I do. But the ego is always attaching to what we do, what other people see of us on the outside. And so we will constantly lose that. It's like constantly be losing little pieces of that identity that the ego clings to. And so that's something I had to recognize as well, is that in reality, those are all external identifiers of who I am, but they are not actually who I am, because, you know, I am my soul, my higher consciousness. That's really who I am. I'm my higher consciousness just dressed up in this disguise with all types of different various identities. And so over time I've learned, like, yes, you have to keep getting to know the new you, but you have to keep letting go of that new you, because there'll be another new you coming along and another one and another one. And so you get used to the process though of letting it go. And a lot of times there's pain involved in it, there's some sadness, like, oh, I hate to see that go. Oh, you know, I wish I could still run like long distance races like I used to. I wish I could, but I can't do that anymore. So let that go. You know, there's a little sadness as you let each thing go. But also there's go ahead.
I was going to say, I like that you pointed out that it's the ego that always wants to have a self-identity. And maybe the direction we need to be going in to evolve the soul is much broader than where the ego can go. Like, as opposed to me saying the old me weighed 150 pounds, the new me weighs 160 pounds, and I have to deal with that, and I wear this size of clothing, and I feel like this. You know, that's my ego saying, this is the new me in these quantitative terms. Maybe instead it's like the new me is not identified by my weight. You know, the new me doesn't care how much I weigh.
Exactly. Like, none of those numbers are real. Those are just made up fictitious numbers in a way, you know, that have nothing to do with who you really are. You're a gorgeous, beautiful soul. that's who you are. And so,
yeah,
so, but
it feels so heavy to be weighed down by these things the ego tries to control. And even just thinking of letting go of needing to care about this feels weightless to me. It's like, oh, like I can breathe when I step into the part of myself that doesn't need to care about my self-identity and that doesn't need to have all these things under control, because ultimately we don't have control. And so it's heavy trying to hold on to these things that we're going to lose anyway.
Exactly. And especially as you start to wake up to the presence of your soul and you feel the lightness and the beauty and the love of your soul, you can differentiate between that and, like you described, the heaviness of the ego and its concerns and attachments. So many people are living only at the level of the ego. They're not even aware of their soul. They haven't even experienced that feeling of lightness and love that comes from the soul. So their whole existence is about the ego and how it measures things and compares and judges and agonizes and worries and tries to control everything. So you're at the place where you can differentiate and see both of those, see them both operating in you at one time, which is kind of fascinating to observe that within yourself. But I think we have to remember to have compassion for the ego. I think that's a key, is to step back and say, oh, that's how the ego is. That's how it operates in the world. And that's, you know, have compassion for the ego and the suffering it creates for itself.
Yeah, and it's doing its job ultimately. That's what the ego is here for. And when we're big enough to see beyond the ego, then we can still let the ego have its thoughts. It's just that we don't believe it anymore. We just say, it's okay. I love you. You know, I see much broader, but I love you. I have compassion for you.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, you know, one thing I just realized about my process is that it's quite cyclical. And I had been sort of expanding in a linear fashion. You know, I went from being a young athlete who became anorexic and having an eating disorder in high school through college to finding yoga and becoming, you know, more spiritual, and then really adopting exercise as my, you know, I was kind of an exercise addict for a little while. But at least I wasn't starving myself, so I was better. And then I kept expanding into spirituality and getting more and more aware of what I was eating and taking care of myself. And it was like, oh, good, like all this progress, you know, I was getting better and better. And like, and even 6 months ago, I sort of reached, it was actually like around my 27th birthday, I reached a peak point where I had come so far from where I began, and I was suddenly so able to love my body, but also my body loved me. Like, my body looked exactly the way I wanted it to. I ate what I wanted to, but what I wanted to eat was what was good for me for the most part. But I also had balance and was able to indulge and enjoy myself, and I wasn't over-exercising. I was finally resting. I was finally in balance. I reached this peak point 6 months ago when I turned 27. And I was like, sweet, you know, and it was even to the point where I was so excited about it that I was about to teach a course in body image because it was like, cool, I figured this out. I went from eating disorder to exercise addict to yoga teacher to completely satisfied with my body and in balance. And then it all fell apart on me. And I was like literally about to teach. I was about to create a course in body image thinking I had this figured out. I have the domain name. I have it, the course written out and everything. And it all fell apart. And suddenly, I don't know whether it's in my mind or if it's actual change, but suddenly I'm uncomfortable in my skin again. And I see my body and it doesn't look the way I would like it to. And I feel like I have no control anymore and I have no ability to have the body that I want. And it's so confusing to me. And it's like I started over, except I'm definitely at a higher level now. And it's like the universe threw in the next level of the challenge for me. It's like, okay, cool. So you got all those skills. Now try it with an aging body. Now try it with loss of hair. Now try it with some gray hair. Now try it with a body that you can't control and energy that you don't have anymore. It's like the stakes are so much higher and I feel like I'm starting from scratch, but I know that I've come so far and I have so much strength in my soul to meet this next challenge, but it does feel like a cycle. Like I'm circling back on the next loop of the spiral, like still moving upward.
Well, you just reminded me of something so interesting. I never thought of this before, but when you and Aaron were little, I read all kinds of books about child development, you know, because I wanted to be a good mom and be the best parent. So I read all kinds of books. And one that made a big impression on me said, your child from birth on will go through cycles that are roughly 6 months in length, you know, not exactly, but roughly. And so there will be alternating tranquility and turbulence in your child's life. And so it said every time your child is getting ready for a new stage to come, he or she will start experiencing turbulence and it will last for about 6 months. It will seem like chaos. The child will be more unhappy, will struggle more, will be upset more until they can actually get to the next stage because they're in the process of changing and trying to move ahead to the next stage. But once they get to the next stage, there will be 6 months of tranquility as the child now like enjoys this new learning and, you know, new knowledge or new skills and enjoys that and has a relatively nice plateau for about 6 months. Then the turbulence will start all over again before the next stage of growth occurs. And it's so amazing to me. You're describing exactly that in even that same 6 month time frame.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And just something for us all to be aware of. Like these phases come and go and truly everything is temporary. So, you know, we're talking about little deaths and little losses of things that we love and care about, but at the same time, these traumatic phases are also impermanent. And so we can trust that we're, you know, going through the storm right now, but the storm will come to an end. You know, this too shall pass has always been one of my favorite quotes. And it's so good to remember that. Like, this is a phase where I'm looking deep into the shadows and it's scary and dark. But if I hold on, more light will come and I'll keep progressing forward.
And especially because you do know that everything changes. Therefore, whatever negative is happening right now is going to change. It will change and ease up and things will get better. And whatever good things are happening will change. But there's some comfort in knowing that, you know, down the road, there will be something new, but it will be different at least. And whatever is hurting me now will change. And there will be something different that I'll be looking at in life. And that's okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's part of the journey. It's beautiful. Well, so for everybody who wants to find out about your book, The Tao of Death, which everyone should read it. It's amazing. How can we find it?
Well, you can go first. You can search on Amazon. It's in the Kindle store right now as an ebook, but I'm formatting the print version too. But it's The Tao of Death, and you should probably type in my name, Karen Wyatt, in order to actually find it. You can also go to the website, eoluniversity.com/Tao of Death, and Tao is spelled T-A-O. So T-A-O-O-F-D-E-A-T-H. It's all one word. There are no spaces or hyphens. Tao of Death, and Tao with a T. But I was going to read just one of the verses from the Tao of Death that I thought kind of illustrates the impermanence that we're talking about today, but it would give all the listeners an idea of what this book is like. And
perfect.
So would that be okay? This is verse 51. So you're probably not there yet.
Nope.
Haven't read it yet. But okay, verse 51 says, love, the creative energy of the universe, gives rise to everything and then draws it back again with perfect timing. This is the way of death. Love breathes life into material form and nurtures, teaches, and protects it, asking nothing in return, until life dissolves once again into love. Knowing that your life is just a single breath of love, cherish everything, cling to nothing. The way of death whispers in your ear, there is only love.
Wow, I love that. That is so beautiful.
So,
and it sounds like you kind of just, you know, channeled it from this new perspective.
Well, you know, as I read each verse of the Tao Te Ching, I meditated on it, you know, with my awareness of death and sort of blended those together until the words came to me of how to say what Lao Tzu was saying in the Tao Te Ching, but using the metaphor of death and what it would mean through the eyes of death. And so what I'm recommending to people, first of all, the other practice I was going to say that helped me with these changes and little losses of life is just being open to thinking about death on a regular basis. And hospice work really taught me that, because I worked with death every single day and it made me so comfortable with death and took away all my fear of death. So my thoughts are that the Tao of Death could be used as like a daily reading exercise. Like you could read one verse a day and then journal about it each day, and it gives you something to focus on for the day, kind of a message for that particular day. And by the end, there are 81 verses. So after 81 days of meditating on these verses about death, you will find yourself pretty calm about death, but pretty open to letting thoughts of death come and go from your mind all the time, and in a different place, I think, of comforts and joy and relaxation about death and impermanence and the little losses that we face.
That's awesome. I'm planning on doing it too. I'm on day two of my 1 day experience. And what a treat, you know, what a treat it is that we get to hear the wisdom of the Tao Te Ching through your incredible perspective of knowing so much about death and loss. So thank you so much for writing it. And everybody, make sure you check out our show notes as well, and we can link to your book online and also your website, and make sure that people have access to your work, because it's so inspiring.
Yeah, and our show notes are at itsjustlifepodcast.com, and this is episode number 18, so you can look for that.
Yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast today. I really felt, you know, good being able to share that, so thank you for giving me the space to talk about my journey, and sending you guys so much love through all of your little losses and little deaths, and just knowing that you have the courage to stay the course and weather the storms, and we're all here for you and here for each other through the journey.
Yeah, and just know that that's one of our intentions, is to share our learning experiences with you in hopes that it's helpful to you. And we'll be here for you every Friday with a new podcast. So stay with us and tune in again. We'll be talking about the Olympics, I promise, in one of the episodes coming up very soon. So
it'll be a good one.
Yeah, until the next time we're together, take care and enjoy your life.
We love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.